You want to put your child in the nursery, you can do that. Third grade down, you can send them. They can have ministry on their own level. And for those of you who get to stay with us in the main service, I just want to suggest that at the end of the hour, one of my guys is you're going to have to put somebody on this. Okay, Ed, would you help me out? Let Charlie know we're going to take an offering at the end of the hour, okay, for the Chinese students. We're going to need some money to pay for gas, and if we have to help with some hotels or whatever, we'll just first it where we can, okay? If you can't do something, you can maybe give. So, Ed, if you tell him that, and also ask him to see if there's room in the parking lot, all right? Could you do that? Charlie's in the back office. And you guys should take a couple minutes and we'll be back on task here. I'm glad you're here today, and I got to say I'm glad to be back. There's no place like home. I was in Texas last week seeing my boy all the time. I mean, I can't tell you how nice to be the dad to several guys who were getting ready to head off overseas into harm's way. There were several of those fellows because they moved it up a week early. Their families could not be there. And some of them had no family, had no dad. But at one point or another, I was able to speak to a couple of them and tell them that if things get hot in that area, very difficult, do not be afraid to cry out to God. And here's why I justified that with them, because it's a truth that I have come to understand very intimately, and that is God loves the world. He loves the world so much he gave his only begotten son, and any little movement towards God is answered immediately because God is so about you. He's so in love with you that if you don't know him yet, know this. Assuredly, he wants to know you. That's what he's waiting for, is to get to know you. So I told those boys, I said, fellas, I said, if they given for me, the salvation. Some of us don't love him. Some of us don't understand, and that's why we haven't come yet to our Savior. You to the uttermost. You can have a security that will take you from point A, get you home one day. You'll be able to sing. I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing like knowing you're going home one day. The Bible promises us that godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. So I want to direct your attention while we have chapter 10 of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, we're going to be talking about the dynamics of salvation. Do you really understand it? Can you really articulate it? I hope you can. You know, there are people coming over from China, and they're going to stay in my house. You know, I'm telling you what, this is pretty cool. I mean, these are 7th, 8th, and 9th grade kids, and they're going to be staying in our house. You need to pray God will just open their hearts to the gospel. You know, they believe that their relatives are the ones they're praying to. They believe in reincarnation and various things. Did you ever think about that, reincarnation? You know, reincarnation is not eternal life, it's eternal life. You got to get dead, and then you got to get dead again. You got to get. I tell you what, the thing is, anybody says to you, you got cancer. How many times do you want to go through that? Somebody says to you, you know, you only have 6 months to live. They never come back as a slug. You ever think about that? They always come back as something better, moving up the chain. My point is this: there is a dark cloud over the hearts and minds of people across the world, and a group are coming out of a place of Soviet oppression. They're coming into America, and God just happened. He said, hey, you got room for these kids? Well, this morning, I want you to know that you have the opportunity, wherever you are, whether it's you're a host this week, or whether you've got an opportunity at work, you have an opportunity to kind of pull back those blinds on the eyes of people. The Bible says the God of this world has darkened people's minds, lest they see the glorious gospel of Christ. You know, God wants people to understand. That's why he gave us a book that sometimes is intimidating to some people. They think, boy, that's a thick book. Well, it's a book of books. There's a lot of little books in there, and you can read it. You can understand it. Chapter 10 of Romans is really kind of a crescendo of the truth about salvation. If you don't know much about salvation or the dynamics of it, you'll want to lean in this morning. Because not only are you going to hear a message about salvation, but you're going to see a picture, the portrayal of what salvation is all about in the baptistry here in a little while. So we have double duty. You get two messages. You get one from the Word and you get one from the water. So keep eyes open, hearts open, keep your eyes peeled because there's things to be gotten here. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 10, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now I want you to understand something. People are either saved or they're lost. That's just the truth of the Bible. You're either in one category or the other. You're either a saint or you're an ain't. That's what Dr. J. Vernon McGee used to say on the radio. You're either a saint or an ain't. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either heaven-bound or hell-bound. You're either in or you're not in. And the fact of the matter is God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever would believe in Him should not have to perish. The only thing you have to do to miss heaven is nothing. Just do nothing, and you'll miss heaven. Because God has made it so simple that really all you have to do is reach out and receive it as a gift. Paul was a Pharisee, which means he was a religious leader, and he was so lit up about his religion that it really just ripped him up inside that there would be a group of people saying there was something other than the Mosaic law. For some people, they think, you know, I can't imagine how any other way could be gotten to heaven than being a good person or making my good works outweigh my bad works or somehow just being a nice, loving person, being a good neighbor. If I just do good, I'll get to heaven. You know, you ask people on the street, what do you do to get to heaven? Well, you just be good. You keep the Ten Commandments. Well, that would be good if it worked, but you can't keep the Ten Commandments. You ever think about that? You try it. You try it. I'm going to keep everything. To tell a lie. You know, those are things that are basic. I'm going to worship God and God only. Those are the Ten Commandments. Those are things. And we break them. And the reason God gave them to us in the first place was to show us we had a sin problem. The law was not given to condemn us in the sense of ultimate condemnation. It was given to condemn us to bring us to the end of ourselves and see something more. Was given, God also gave the sacrificial system, and lambs were slaughtered in behalf of man who realized I'm a sinner. God said, I presume they will cover it, but eventually I'll send my Son who is the Lamb of God. Now folks, the Mosaic law was something Paul was all lit up about. He really loved his Judaism. He really loved the fact that he could teach all about the Old Testament, the sacrifices and all that stuff. He loved that. So much so that when somebody came along and said, no, Christ is the Messiah, he died, he rose again, it just infuriated him to the point where he said, I'm going to become a police officer, a religious police officer, and I'm going to go around and I'm going to arrest these people. In fact, the Apostle Paul was there when the first in the church was killed by stoning Stephen. You may have heard of St. Stephen being stoned. It was stoned to death because he was preaching Christ. Now what I'm saying is this, is that Paul was all about persecuting, and what happened was he got entirely changed in a moment. The Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. When you come to Jesus Christ, He is the one and the only one who can give you a new heart. He's the one who can give you a clean slate. The Bible talks about this. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. They'd be red as like crimson. They could be like, what? I'm going to take your sins. I can do this. I'm the only one. I'm God. I can do this. I can take all your sins and I can separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. And I will do this for you. I will bury your sins in the deepest sea and they'll never, never, never be remembered against you again. Woo! Talk about freedom. Somebody says you're going to jail. Somebody says you got a life sentence. Somebody says you're going to be 30 years in solitary confinement, and somebody walks up and says, hey, here, I got a paper for you. Woo! I'm out! Home free! That's what he offers. You don't have to go to hell, but it's up to you. Because he's a gentleman, he won't twist your arm.
Paul says, my heart's desire is that they be saved.
Now, anybody who gets saved finds something right away happens in their soul. You see, salvation changes our mind. Paul's mind was changed. In fact, two chapters over, he says, I could wish myself that I was accursed for my brethren the Israelites. He says, I wish I could go to hell. Now, you're touching the hem of the garment of God. Because that's the disposition of God. God says, I will take their hell upon myself. And that's what Jesus did. Paul said, I could wish I myself were accursed from Christ for my people, my brethren in Israel. Moses was standing in the gap between the Israelites and between God. Do you remember? He was just the Ten Commandments up there in the mountain, and he came down after 40 days without food. He came down, the people got bored, so they started partying down around the golden calf that they built, and they built this golden calf and said, that's God, that's Jehovah. And what happened? He broke the commandments, and he took them, and he threw them into pieces. But when he went back up with his head down and his heart broken, God said, get out of my way, I'm going to destroy them all. And Moses said, listen, what will the nations think if you do that? You can't do that. He says, listen, don't do it. Don't do it. The people will mock. They won't understand. The nations won't understand. He says, in fact, if you can, he says, and his voice breaks, and the Bible just goes, because you can sense the silence. He says, but if you then blot me out of your book. You see, a true child, new heart. Their minds get changed. Paul at one point wanted to persecute the church. Now he's turning around and he's saying he wants to populate. Now he wants everybody saved. Who wants you saved? You see, the fact of the matter is, God gave his only son, and that's no small thing. If you had kids at all, you know how hard it would be. I've got a son in Iraq, and you know, he's going to be standing between us and that which is wicked and evil. That's my son, and it's kind of hard. I've got a nerve that's constantly firing all the time now that he's over there. You don't know till you go there. Mark went through it, and I would see him sometimes when Brian was out there in harm's way. Man, his eyes would well up when we... And you know, it was only the prayers of our God, to our God,